Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the European community as we pick up in Daniel chapter 2, verse 45. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Bible scholars for years have been looking for a confederacy of European nations to join together with treaties that would become and will become the final world governing empire. Since the Roman Empire, there has not been a world governing empire. It was, of course, Hitler's dream to become a world ruler. And he sought to establish a world governing empire through the super race. But he never accomplished his dream. It is the goal of communism to develop a world dominating empire. The communists will not fulfill their dreams. But Bible scholars and I can show you books that were written back in the 20s, back in the 30s, by Bible scholars, Dr. Talbot, Arnold Gabelin, William Newell, who all in their books predicted that there will arise in Europe a confederacy of 10 nations who will link themselves together with treaties, and that this 10-nation federation in Europe will become the final world-dominating empire. Because the 10 toes are part iron, the nations that become or joined together will be related to the Roman Empire or nations that were involved in the Roman Empire. But because there is also the admixture of clay, so that you have a democracy among them, the nations having equal parts, it won't be one nation ruling over them all, but the nations ruling together as a confederacy. So that we, as Bible students, have been watching Europe for the development of a 10-nation European community. And of course, among the Bible scholars, there was tremendous excitement as Greece signed the treaty and became officially the 10th nation of the European community. Now, the thing that is especially relevant and significant is verse 44 of chapter 2, where the Lord said, "And in the days of these kings," that is the 10 kings, when this 10-nation European confederacy has been formed, "in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed." So that he does declare that the coming of Christ will take place during the time of the rule of these 10 kings of the European community. The fact that the European community has been formed is extremely significant from a biblical standpoint. Now, there are many other passages that relate to this in the scriptures. The ruler that will ultimately arise from this 10-nation European confederacy, the power that will be given to him and his rule over the earth, as is described in other passages throughout the Bible, as well as Daniel gives us quite a bit of insight towards the latter part of the book of Daniel concerning this man of sin that is going to arise. But to me, the really exciting thing is that we, in seeing the formation of the European community, could very well be seeing exactly what Daniel was prophesying here as we see the Roman Empire, in a sense, being revived in the European community. And we see its growing strength, especially in economy. And we see its industrial might as it is being developed. The European community has a potential GDP that is double that of the United States. And it is certainly one of the most powerful forces in the world today, as far as economic and industrial. It is not yet a military force. That will come later. But I'm always excited to realize that it's during the time of the 10 kings that the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. The coming of Christ and the kingdom of Christ upon the earth. The stone not cut with hands that grows into a mountain to cover the earth. And to realize that we're coming to those days, we see, it's just almost incredible that we see the 10-nation European community being formed. We will get in Daniel chapter 7 a corresponding vision of Daniel in which it will amplify just a little more fully this 10 horns that come out of this Roman Empire and the little horn that arises and destroys three and all. But we'll get to that when we get to chapter 7. But nonetheless, I cannot read this second chapter of Daniel and look at what's happening in the world today without getting extremely excited. Because we're coming right down. And like the Lord said, the dream is certain and the interpretation is sure. And it has followed the very sequences that were predicted. And it is significant that since the Roman Empire, you have not had a world governing empire. And yet there will be one final world governing empire, 10 kings related to the Roman Empire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshiped Daniel. And he commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And the king answered Daniel and said, "Of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing that you could reveal this secret." Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him a ruler over the whole province of Babylon and a chief of the governors over the wise men of Babylon. And then Daniel requested of the king that he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So Daniel spoke to them about his three friends and got them important positions. Now in chapter 3, we find Nebuchadnezzar defying the revelation of God. Remember, in his dream, he saw the image with a head of gold. Thou art the head of gold. But it had a chest of silver. For the Babylonian Empire was to be replaced by an inferior empire, the Medo-Persian Empire. But Nebuchadnezzar, in defiance of God and the revelation of God, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, or 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof was 6 cubits. You're getting into the 66s here. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all of the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes and governors, captains, and all gathered together, and a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that whatever time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, that you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso will not fall down and worship, the same hour will be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." So Nebuchadnezzar, not to be messed with. You have your choice, either bow down to it or be cast into the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, Nebuchadnezzar becomes in Scripture what we call a type of the Antichrist, who we read in Revelation chapter 13 makes an image. And he gives power unto this beast or this image to speak. And he demands that the whole world worship this image that has been given power to speak. We've been reading a lot about the advancement of our science, and especially of the capacities of computers. There is even talk of creating computers that will be smarter than men and will perhaps one day rule over man because of their wisdom. Within computers, there has already developed the capacity of chips, voice chips, so that they have little calculators that you can buy, and as you punch the numbers, it will give you the number, but then it will speak the answer as well as display it. Already in dialing wrong numbers, you get the operator that says, "What number did you dial?" And you tell them the number, and then you hear the number 646-2575 has been changed to. And it gives you the new number, and it's a computer that is a voice computer. Power to speak. Now, up until just, you know, the last few years, it seemed to be a totally impossible thing to make some kind of an image and give that image the capacity to think and to speak. It could very well be, I don't say that it is, but it could very well be that the image that has been created by this man of sin that is going to arise will be a highly sophisticated computer which will be used to govern the world. Nebuchadnezzar made an image, 60 cubits high, 6 cubits broad, and demanded that everyone worship that image, and anyone who refuses to worship the image would be put to death. The man of sin, the beast that arises out of the sea in Revelation 13, makes an image and demands that everyone worship the image, and if anyone refuses to worship the image, he has power to put to death. We see an interesting parallel. There were 3 young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to bow to the image, but God miraculously preserved them through the fire. In the book of Revelation, we read of 144,000 that God is going to seal and take safely through the great tribulation, the fiery judgment of God that is coming upon the earth. Now, the big question. Here, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were reported to Nebuchadnezzar that they did not bow and worship the image, the question, what about Daniel? Do you think that Daniel bowed to the image? I think not. Daniel had purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's meat. His commitment to God was so complete. I am certain that Daniel did not bow. Then why wasn't Daniel reported with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Obviously, Daniel must not have been there. He was probably away on business of the affairs of state. For had he been there, he surely would not have bowed. That, of course, becomes extremely interesting in that Daniel is a type of the church. And when the great tribulation, the fiery judgment comes, when the Antichrist is demanding that people bow down and worship the image that he has created, the church won't be there. It's gone. It won't go through the fiery furnace. It's been delivered, caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and forever with the Lord, and thus will not be here when the Antichrist makes the scene and creates the image and demands that the image be worshipped. The church, Daniel, is out of the picture. But it is the faithful remnant of the Jews who turned to Christ after the rapture of the church that God will seal as the three Hebrew children and take them through the fire. So a very beautiful typology in this story in Daniel. Now in verse 8, chapter 3, at the certain time the Chaldeans came near and they accused the Jews. They spake and said unto King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, have made a decree that every man, when he hears the sound of the cornet and the music and so forth, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso does not fall down and worship, that he would be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Then, O hothead Nebuchadnezzar, his rage and in his fury, he commanded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men to the king. This guy's always in a rage. And Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them and said, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now, if you're ready, that at the time that you hear the sound of the music, you will fall down and worship the image which I have made, then all will be well. But if you do not worship, you will be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not even careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Now, God is able. The God that we serve can deliver us out of your burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of your hand. And even if he doesn't, we're still not going to serve your gods. We're still not going to bow down to your image. Now, we're not even careful how we answer you in this. This is a set matter with us. We're just not going to do it. These guys had such commitment. Such commitment to God that God is able, if he wants, to deliver us. If he doesn't want, we're still not going to bow. Our lives are in God's hands. He can do with us whatever he wants, but we're going to be faithful to God and true to God, and God will be faithful to us. And whatever God does with us is fine. We're not worried, we're not concerned, Nebuchadnezzar, about your decrees or your threats at all. You don't scare us, Nebuchadnezzar. You don't move us, because our trust is in God. The God that we serve is able to deliver us. And if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Daniel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Daniel 2 through 3 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord give you a wonderful week. May his hand just rest upon your life in a very special way. And may your faith in God be increased. May the Lord help you, as with those men of faith, to endure, because you can see actually what others cannot see, that eternal plan and purpose of God. And may God bring you into harmony with his purposes for your life as you walk with him this week. In Jesus' name.
This program has been
for years. Pastor Chuck was asked thousands of questions.
This new guy that my mom married, he thinks that the Christian beliefs are foolish, and I was wondering if that's going to affect my mom's walk.
I'm a Christian. I'm trying to fight the addiction of smoking, and are those things going to keep me from going in the rapture?
Is it okay to use your tithe and give it to someone who's going on a mission trip instead of giving it directly to church?
The Word for Today is pleased to present an ebook called Biblical Counseling by Chuck Smith, listing over 200 topics that include Pastor Chuck's commentary and the scripture references he used. Topics include addiction, business relationships, depression, lawsuits, sexuality, training children, and so much more. To download the Biblical Counseling ebook by Chuck Smith, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link provided. Or you can call 1-800-272-9673.